How often at Christmas time do people ask you, what did you get for Christmas? What did you get? What's the gift? And you tell everybody, right? What's the gift we received when Jesus came to earth this night? Salvation. Salvation and eternal life. No fear of death, no fear of anything anymore. Eternal life became born on that morning. The shepherds didn't realize that, I know. They thought the Messiah had come. They were told that by the angels. But what the early people believed in the Old Testament, how the Messiah would come, would be in a grand fashion. It would be phenomenal. It would be spectacular. And he would arrive with chariots and thunder and lightning, and boom, there he'd be. But that isn't how our Savior was born. Because Jesus came to be one of us. He came to be like us. And he came in the most obscure, quiet, desolate place. There was absolutely no room at the inn for Mary, Joseph, or that newborn baby. No room. No room. How often in our lives do we not have room for God? We've got room for lots of other things very often, don't we? We make time for all kinds of things. But today we are reminded that we all in our hearts, our minds, and especially in our lives, in the days that we go every morning, every night, throughout the day, we must have time and make room for God. What it is that God would want from us, what God wants for us. And also, more importantly, to share God with others. Jesus came and the shepherds were the first to see him because, of course, he was one of them. He became the good shepherd, as we all know. And so he came to his own people, the shepherds. He came in a humble way because he became the man who would always be humble, ready to humble himself even to the point of death. He sacrificed heaven. I mean, heaven has to be glorious, right? No pain, no suffering, no sorrow, no tears, just nothing but love and peace and joy, just a beautiful paradise. And that's what Jesus had in heaven. He was there at the creation of the world. He was there from above in that beautiful, beautiful place. And yet he decided, and God decided with him, and he took that upon himself to follow the will of God. And he came down from way up above us to come down to be one of us and among us and to be like us. He came not as somebody who was to be above us, but to be our equals. That's the kind of God we have. A humble man, a humble child, a humble beginning. And the shepherds had no idea what they had seen, but they remembered those angels. And they were so excited to realize what they had been told. Imagine being the first person ever to hear that the Messiah was born. Imagine being one of those shepherds out in the flocks, in the cold, listening to a bunch of bleating. You know, all night long. Some of the sheep were wet. Some of them were dirty. Some of them stunk. Some of them had briars in them. Some of them had been attacked by wolves. And there these shepherds were caring for and tending the sheep that very night. And then they hear from angels from above. A chorus of angels from heaven just descended, and the light came down upon them. And it shone in that midnight hour, in that darkness where they often lived, very often only carrying lanterns to see one step in front of them. The light of God came down and shone upon them. Wouldn't that be awesome to have that happen? To be that first people, just doing your thing, just the average every day taking care of sheep. Not the easiest job on the planet, I must tell you. Chasing those sheep, especially when they go astray, going down the cliff with them, pulling them back up out of the cracks of those mountains, getting your hands dirty all the time. And they were the ones that God chose to reveal the Son of God first and foremost. It just shows you the fact that who Jesus was really just like those shepherds, right? He was going to be someone who got down and dirty, who was willing to chase after the sheep, go looking for them wherever they may be, leaving the flock of 99 to go look for that one that was lost. And so that's why I know that God came and showed the Messiah to the shepherds to say, you've got more work to do, but wait and see what this shepherd's going to do for his people. And those shepherds just had to be so full of joy thinking, wow, why did God choose us? How are we that important? Well, anybody that serves someone else out of sacrifice, anyone who's willing to be there in the darkest moments, they're the ones that God looks upon and puts the light on them and says, well done, keep doing that kind of work because that's the kind of work my son is going to do. See, God knew what Jesus' purpose was going to be from the very beginning. But he was going to be somebody just like those shepherds and be unexpected to very often to other people as well. Jesus became the man and the servant of God that went amongst all the people, no matter where they were, and he shone his light upon them. He brought them out of the places of darkness, out of the place of despair, out of the places where people thought no one would care, or maybe God didn't even care. But Jesus always cared. And that's the purpose God had for him, for all humanity. This is good news, everyone. The Savior of the world has been born tonight. We don't have to worry about saving ourselves anymore or saving anybody else for that matter. We have somebody who will save people on our behalf. So you can take it easy. You can relax through the holy season that we're in and just watch what God does in people's lives. He can appear to others like he did those shepherds at their most important time of need. And sometimes he sends a person like Jesus, who is a shepherd, who is a caregiver, who's somebody who is someone who would pray and want to serve, someone who's humble and willing to sacrifice their time, their energy, and their power, and their strength, and even their position so that they can help somebody else. And that's the rest of us Christians, right? That's the lessons that we've learned through Jesus. But imagine being Mary. 14 years old, they estimate, is how old she was. They had traveled 90 miles, partially on a donkey, more likely walking the way. I don't know about you, but sometimes walking from this parking lot to the door, it seems like all you can take to get in here some days, right? We get a little worn out. Just think of the journey that Mary and Joseph took while she was carrying, as she was prophesied, the Son of God, that the Holy Spirit had this child within her. Imagine having the Son of God within you. What a tremendous responsibility. And what kind of strength does it take? And what kind of person must you be to carry the Son of God? A perfect woman, a perfect child, a perfect human being, right? Not so much. See, God chooses the people that he sees, and he chooses each and every one based on their heart, based on what they could become, based on the fact that they're willing. Remember, Mary said to that angel, whatever the Lord wants, I'll do it. I'm paraphrasing, but it's essentially what she said. May it be as you have said to me. How many of you say to God, anytime God calls on you to do something little or large, do you say, okay, may it be as you asked me to do? See, Mary was a super person, supernatural in a way, right? Maybe that's why God chose a young person. Sometimes the childlike faith is someone that can say yes a lot easier than us folks that have been through a few years of serving. It's like, oh, I don't want to do that right now, please. But Mary was a special woman that God chose. And Joseph, on the other hand, an older man who essentially married her, took her to be his wife, regardless of the fact that he was not the father of her child. Because he believed also in what God had told them, that this child would be supernatural. It would be someone special. And that God was in the midst of that. See, when you can know that God is in the midst of whatever God is asking you to do, no matter what it is, you can do it, right? Because we know God does the impossible, correct? This was a virgin birth, in case you didn't remember that part. Supernatural. Miraculous. Miraculous, to say the least. miraculous that he chose a young girl, someone willing. It's miraculous that he chose the shepherds to see the Son of God in that manger. Miraculous that that Son of God grew up to be the one who is the Savior of us all. And at the same time, each and every one of us are equally as important to God. All of us are called in one way, shape, or form to give others the gift of Christ, to go tell it wherever we go. Not that there's a mountain around us because we're in Florida. But wherever we go, we are telling people about God, aren't we? We may not say the words, but it's by the way we act, by the way we love, by the way we share, by the way we care, by the way we treat one another, by the way we're willing to sacrifice for others, by the way we're willing to introduce people to that Savior. That's how people come to know God, right? Come to know Jesus, by how we behave, how we show the world who God is. And in John 1, we find out exactly who Jesus was and is and will always be. Because today, around the world, and especially in Israel tonight, in Bethlehem, it's crushed in war. Israel is not the same today as it was those 2,000 years ago, or maybe it was. Maybe the world back then, even when Jesus was born, is the same as it is today, where tragedy strikes, where wars and rumors of wars continue to happen, where hatred, where prejudice, where bigotry continue to darken the world. Perhaps during his time, and as we know, nobody gave them a room. Think about that. Just imagine somebody 9 months pregnant, small but huge, I'm sure, by ready to have birth, travels all that way, and I'm sure Joseph knocked on every inn door asking, do you have room for my wife? Do you have room? Do you have room? Do you have room? Not one person nor the innkeeper said, here, take my space. Take my room. I'll go out to the stable. Shows you humanity, doesn't it? But isn't it interesting that Jesus would be born to a crowd of sinners like that? People who were selfish. People who only cared for themselves. People who were there just maybe partying, having a good time, and couldn't even be bothered to help somebody in need. Aren't those people the exact people that Jesus came for? Isn't it interesting that he's born into a place where nobody wants him? Nobody has room for him? Nobody wants to give up their space for him? Shows you what humanity is like. Shows you how important it was that a Savior would come to forgive those very same people of those kinds of sins. And their sins are no different than our sins, right? We all do them, right? One time or another. But Jesus came for them all. He came to be a light in the darkness. He came to bring love to the world. He came to bring forgiveness. He came to a broken place to put together people and families again. He came to bring love and mercy and grace and forgiveness, joy and hope. He came to be an example of what real unconditional love is. So the way he came, not by fanfare, not by any spectacular fireworks. There were no TV crews there to interview Mary and Joseph, or the shepherds for that matter. It was a night like tonight. But we're kind of busy doing this, right? Jesus could come tonight for all we know. Because that's how he's going to appear when he comes back. So we've been through Advent season. The early Israelites, the early Jews were waiting for a Messiah. Waiting and waiting and waiting. And he came. And they missed it. And then Jesus came and he taught. And he spoke to the Jews and he spoke to the Gentiles. Some believed and some didn't. And then he left a band of disciples behind. Average, ordinary people. And they were going to carry on the message. Fishermen, tax collectors, a former prostitute, a great religious group of people to be able to lead the kingdom of God into all for all times. Just as Jesus came into the world in an ordinary way, he chose ordinary people to serve and spread the gospel message of God's love for everyone. And he continues to do that. And when he comes again, we'll be ready, because we'll have our lamps lit, meaning we'll keep the work going. We'll keep proclaiming the gospel message. We'll keep telling people about this Jesus. We'll keep showing people who Jesus is and was and will always be, the God of love, the wonderful counselor, mighty God, Prince of Peace, because that's the people we are, right? That's what Jesus has called us all to be. And Jesus himself was the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that we share with one another all the time. And in that Word, the words you use, the words of Christ, especially those in red, those are the ways you can share the Christmas message going forward. He was born today. Happy birthday, Jesus. How many of us were born again? Different date, different time, different way. But he comes, and when you made room for him in your life and you said, okay, come on in. Come on in to me. Everything changed for you, I know, especially your eternity. So we continue to ask people to make room for Jesus in their life. And as we show what it's like to have Jesus in us, I know people are going to want that. And maybe we're going to be that choir of angels one day, just telling people in our special way how great God is, how wonderful God has been in our lives, how much we have changed and grown, and how our life has gotten so much better because of Jesus coming from heaven to earth in this body, your body, our bodies, right? We are the manger. Did you realize that? We're the manger now. And he's not sleeping in here, I can guarantee you that. He's pretty busy. He's constantly encouraging, challenging, growing us, asking us to do God's will as he had done. What was in that manger, and what is in the manger of all of us? First of all, love. Unconditional love. The line of love that keeps no records of wrong. Grace, mercy, tenderness, gentleness, forgiveness, hope, intimacy, friendship, healing, acceptance, strength, peace, companionship, equality, understanding, limitlessness, and radiant light. That's who's in, you know why that is inside of all of you? Because that's Jesus in you. All of those things, and there are many, many more. I was just trying to brainstorm what was in that manger. When Mary looked in the face, and when the shepherds looked in the face of that baby, what did they see? A baby. Snugly wrapped in cloths, torn pieces of cloth, because they had nothing really richly to put around him. But it was wrapped, all wrapped up. What the wrapping around Jesus. Think about a Christmas gift. If you want to give a person a great Christmas gift and you're not a great rapper like I'm not, take some strips of cloth and wrap it around it and say, I give you Jesus. I give you Jesus. This world needs more of Jesus more than anything. And guess who has to show people Jesus? We do. It's up to us. It's up to us. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything and everyone that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never, ever, never, ever, ever extinguish it. The Word became human and made his home among us. And after, and I'm going to jump to the end of John. After he was among us, he was within us, right? He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory. Have you seen God's glory? I have seen God's glory because I see it on your faces all the time. The glory of the Father's one and only Son. So even though we live sometimes in dark times, we've been through many. When you get to live long enough, you see an awful lot of darkness. But I'll tell you this, you always see an awful lot of light too. And we as Christians and those of us that are celebrating the birth of our Savior tonight, who came as the light of the world, we have over at the Advent candles, that center candle is the light of Christ. It's known as the Christ candle. That light never goes out. We'll blow out the rest of the candles, but they all are a part of that Christ candle there. And as tonight is candlelight service time, I want you to know that it's through the light of Christ from there to your heart that you and we and all of us together can light this dark world. Even if it's one little corner of one little space and one little place, when you bring light into someone else's life through Jesus Christ in you, that darkness is dispelled. And even if the darkness keeps trying to extinguish that light, because some of us have gone through some hard times, correct? Some people still are. But can that light ever be extinguished? No. Because the light of Christ will always, 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 always stay bright. When you have Jesus in your heart, your mind, your soul, and your life, as we have Jesus in this place, in this church, and in all of our lives, and if you bring that light wherever you go, even when there's darkness, the light will always be lit. But it's going to happen through all of you. Mary and Joseph were in that cave, a stable. It was pretty dark. But lo and behold, out of that manger, light came. The sparkle of light through Jesus' eyes, that baby, the light of God. The light of God lit the darkness even for his own parents, just as a baby child. Amazing, isn't it? So we're going to light our candles tonight. I'll begin, because the point of all this is this. One person can make a huge difference, can't they? Jesus certainly did. A lot of persons can make a huge difference, can't you? Yes, you can. Each individual, whoever you are, your light, the light of Christ within you, is the light this world needs, whether it's through your prayers, through your love, through your service, through your caring, through your giving. Jesus was born obscurely, but to people that were shepherds, to a young child, woman, who was willing to do what God asked to do. And that's who we are as well, is it not? And so tonight as we light these candles, we celebrate the light of Christ, we celebrate the birth of Christ, we celebrate the death of Christ, but we celebrate the resurrection of Christ as well. And all of us together as one church family, as we light this and as the darkness comes because we turn off the lights, you'll notice how bright this room becomes, because all of you together make light so bright in people's darkness. Amen.